Welcome to Pure Entropy, where we explore the signals through the noise of life. Now, today's guests, we have Gavin and Jess from TWC, which stands for Travel World Culture. And they're the dynamic duo who started this 5-6 years ago. And correct me on that.
Yeah, 5 years.
Yeah. I've personally been on one of the trips and loved it so much that I'm going on another trip to Guatemala next year. So very excited. And let's hear from you guys. Tell us a little bit about like how you got started, what led to the idea, you know?
Yeah, we met in college actually. When we graduated, we had kind of known the year leading up to our big graduation that we wanted to travel somewhere. We really didn't have a timeline, but we bought some really affordable tickets, one-way tickets to Colombia. We were there and just kind of exploring different options. And Gavin was inspired by a past trip to Ecuador that the two of us took together. And he said it just made sense to rent a whole bus to go that exact route through Ecuador and fill up the seats. And so we did. We actually posted in the University of Texas buy-sell trade page. And that's how most people found our very first trip. I think it was a long time ago. And back then we did things quite differently. So I think that first trip was $399 or something absurd like that.
Crazy.
And it went amazingly. So from there, we just decided, okay, let's keep this going. And that was a little under 5 years ago.
Yeah. So did you feel a lot like that first trip? Were you kind of nervous or like you don't know what's going to happen? I know you wanted to travel, which is like always exciting. But was there a tipping point?
Yeah. We were nervous, but in that case, when you're so early on, you don't really know yet what can go wrong. So, nothing did go wrong on that trip. It was an amazing trip and it went really smoothly. So, it's funny that over the years, I've maybe gotten more worried with each trip. I just know more what to look for and I get a little bit more. I want days to be more and more perfect because, yeah, you've been learning from every trip. So, as time goes on, I think I worry more somehow, if that's possible.
Yeah, I feel like the problems will never end. So you can only just choose which problems do you want to focus on.
Yeah, I was talking about that at the meetup in Austin that you were at a couple of weeks ago. I was talking with some people and they were asking if it just gets easier and easier with each trip. And I kind of said, you know, you think you see it all and then the world just reminds you that it is ever changing and you will never be able to predict exactly what's going to happen. So the great thing is with every trip, we learn so much and we have really learned what makes a good trip. But I mean, as you've seen personally this year, because of El Nino, there's been some unpredictable weather more than ever before. So even when you think things are going to be so great and we know Iceland at the back of our hand, it's El Nino year and it's going to be more rain or more wind or whatever it is. So yeah. It means you can never fully predict what's going to happen.
Seriously, it's kind of funny because, you know, we got through COVID, which we had planned for so many things. We planned for our worst case scenario being like, for say, like another world war, right? Where travel just kind of halts.
Yeah.
To everywhere except like a very, very like few places. And so that was kind of our idea of like this worst case scenario. And then COVID hit, we're like, oh no, travel can stop it. The whole world can shut down pretty instantly, which was crazy. And then, yeah, moving forward past COVID, we're like, okay, we're over, you know, the hardest thing that we'll go through, which is probably true and likely the case. But yeah, we keep hitting stuff where we're like, wow. You know, international travel just kind of kicks you in the butt every once in a while, you know? Yeah, exactly. Like weather is a massive thing that, you know, is unpredictable, but when you have stuff planned, you want to go super perfectly. You want the perfect days every day of the trip. That's just the goal.
You can have so many backup plans.
Yeah.
But yeah, weather is something that it absolutely frustrates me to no end that I can't control it and make it perfect. Even lots of travel, I think just everywhere is experiencing this, what we're calling here El Nino summer, but it's just, El Nino has started over the last few months. And even in, I think, Europe, they're experiencing rain in a season that they don't usually see as much rain. Here in the States, here in Colorado, we're seeing a ton of rain. And I'm no expert on the weather, but that's just what I've read. And even in Peru, we spend almost every May in Peru. And for the last several years, we've spent the entire month there and never seen a drop of rain in all those times. This May, May 6th, I think it snowed in a few towns outside of Cusco, but it hasn't snowed in for 30 years.
Wow.
Too hot in the rainy season and too dry in the dry season, so they don't see rain like that. And this was just like the most bizarre thing. And so it's actually, has more effects than just on our trip, right? So what life is going on there for everyone that lives there is normal. And when it snowed 3 years ago, a lot of crops died. And it had a big effect on the community, a big negative effect. And so one of our really close partners who we work with in Peru, Joel, he took us out to his family farm near Cusco. There's a town called Chinchero. And he took us to this farm that's there, and he was showing us that a lot of crops had died. Not all, but a few. So it is really wild to hear about how the weather has changed like that.
Yeah, and how it affects, people around the world. We don't really think about it here, right? Like, you're in your house and you're like, oh yeah, it's hot, so we're just going to turn down AC, or oh yeah, it's raining more, so we just can't go outside, so we're annoyed. But no, it's wild. The weather cycles are crazy and just getting crazier and crazier as time goes on, which is, unfortunate.
So now, adding to our list of things we do as entrepreneurs, we're becoming El Nino experts.
Yeah, I'm literally
learning a lot this year. That's me. I was born in India, so I lived there till like the sixth grade. So I think I was like 10, 11, something like that. But there, like, the ACs or like air conditioning was not centralized. So it's more like you have the units. And so whenever I came here, I was like, whoa, this is so different. It's like, you can just turn it up and it's like the whole place. So whenever people are like, oh, it's so hot, I'm just like, I was like, this is like, we're lucky to have this.
Yeah.
It's like, that's like trivial. But I feel like at times it makes us like not as adapted to, because now people are like, oh, I can't be outside for long. 5 minutes. And even me, like, before, I could be outside in the heat and yeah, it's bad, but I like, at least I could take it. But now it's like, yeah, just being indoors a lot makes you like less adapted. There's definitely a change, but that's why like I try to go to new places so I can kind of get that discomfort in a way, just enough, like, okay, like, you gotta appreciate what we have, because you never know like how long it will last, what might happen the next day, the unexpected things could happen. So it's pretty dirty.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, one of my favorite things to say is, like, while traveling, you want to learn how to be comfortable when everything is uncomfortable, right? And
yeah,
that's just part of experiencing different cultures, right? Like, you're going to get pushed out of your comfort zone. And it's such an exciting part of travel, right? But it definitely is one of the most challenging to kind of get over, is the differences.
So were you guys always like interested in traveling? Was it like since childhood? Like, how did that, was it like a first trip you took? For me, like personally, I took a trip alone to the States from India. My parents were here, and like only I got like the, at that time we were Indian citizens, so we had to get the visa and stuff. And my aunt couldn't go because her visa got denied. But then my parents were like, no, like, we want you to come this summer. And so I went alone as like when I was 7 years old.
Wow.
So since then, I don't know. I think because that happened to me, I love like going to new places. Doesn't matter if it's alone, but just being in like, it's like an adventure for me. It's like, okay, you never know what's going to happen. Like, let's see how it goes.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
I think both of us were kind of brought into travel thanks to our moms for the most part. My mom is Canadian, but grew up in Europe, changed schools almost every other year, and had to change languages and what language she was learning in almost every other year. And so when I was in middle school, I had gotten invited to spend the summer in Germany with my closest friend at school and just stay at her family's home there for the summer. And my mom really pushed for me to go, even though my dad did not want me to go. So my mom helped me and I saved up money to pay for my flight and then got to stay with them for the summer. And that was one of my first experiences leaving the country. And Gamma's mom also grew up outside the U.S. and traveled a lot.
Yeah, my mom, she was born a British citizen. She grew up in Kuwait and then moved to the States when she was in high school. And so when I was growing up, she was always traveling. We'd go visit my aunt, you know, lived all over kind of Europe and the Middle East and in the U.S. too. And so we would kind of go travel around to visit them. And yeah, I was exposed to quite a few trips through my mom, which is really exciting. And with her grandparents, who also they met abroad too and stuff. So, you know, a lot, which was really interesting, you know, coming from the U.S. now, I feel like generationally, there's quite a bit more people who have like their parents generationally haven't, you know, traveled as much.
Yeah.
That's exciting to constantly be meeting people who, you know, families kind of spark their love for travel.
Yeah, my mom is exactly like that too. Like my dad, he's like, okay, we'll go on some trips. And my mom's like, are you taking me? Like, we're going to go somewhere this summer, right? So she's all on, like, she go places. And I was like, yeah, I will. Don't worry. I'm going to make it happen. It's definitely always fun. It's like, yeah. There's this guy, his name is Nathaniel Drew. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he actually has a channel called No Backup Plan on YouTube. And he lived in the States. And then now he lives in France. So he kind of shares like what's like living in France and like just traveling around Europe, different things. So it's pretty cool. Like it would be something to check out for you guys.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Gavin's mom is leaving tomorrow for Portugal.
Yeah.
My mom just got back from one of her big bucket list trips, which was to Bora Bora and Tahiti. So it's one of our biggest things about traveling ourselves has been that we miss a lot of time at home. That's one of the biggest drawbacks, or really just time away from our families. That's not really home anymore. But thankfully, our families have made time to kind of meet us out on the road where we're at times. So sometimes Gavin's brother will come meet us. His sister, as you probably heard, travels with us a lot. And for a couple of years was traveling nonstop with us. My brother just got to come to Peru. Yeah, so we've gotten to see our family a long way here and there. So it's fun to kind of share that with them. There really is no bonding experience like a trip, which just like your trip to Iceland, you know, more than half of you are coming to the same Guatemala trip, which is wild.
Yeah, and it is wild.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I was like, this is insane. But even like with the weather, like I feel like even if it's bad weather or something that unexpected happens, that bonds us more than like if everything went perfectly smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, it's so cool.
Keeps it interesting.
Yeah, it does. Keep showing your
feel. Like, I feel like a lot of people, especially like it's easy. Let's say like you get a job or something and then they want to travel. But I see, especially a lot of my friends, they're like, oh, we don't have time yet. Or more it's like, oh, I don't know. It takes a lot of effort to plan things. And especially like, that's why I'm the person who's like, okay, I'll plan it. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you just need to come at this place this time. We'll go and things will happen. And so they're like, all right. And before I actually wasn't like this. Before I'd be like, oh yeah, that's a lot of work. Let's just not do it. And then I realized like, okay, life is pretty short. Like, you never know what could happen the next month or even the next day. So now I've become the person who's like, okay, I'll lead the thing if I have to, just so they can come. But I don't know. You have like friends that are still kind of more like, yeah, we want to travel, but we haven't taken like the chance yet, or kind of just more laid back. Any tips for them to kind of like get out of that shell?
So I'm just going to be honest. I feel like a large majority of everyone's friends are like that, right? it's funny because now people are making like reels and TikTok videos about it. You know, they're like, I'm tired of waiting for my friends to do XYZ. And travel's at the forefront of that. And that's why it's kind of funny. A lot of the people that we see come on our trips are like, I have so many friends who said we were going to go, per se, to Iceland, right? And so for years, I was just waiting to go there. And then finally, I was like, all right, this is so annoying. Like, they're never going to end up deciding a date and planning a trip and doing the whole thing. So I'm just going to hop on a trip. And then you meet all these people and you're like, okay, now I have a group of people who I can travel with. which I think is so cool. And that's, you know, one of the main goals that we have with our, you know, kind of online travel community is like creating those relationships, because I mean, that's what makes a difference in like your day-to-day life, right? Like you'll, like we have people who, you know, they meet their best friends, they meet really like the people they end up like marrying, whatever, like through these trips and through travel, which is, you know, so exciting to see. Really kind of makes all the hard work and getting through all the tough parts that we talked about at the beginning worth it.
Yeah, there's a, I don't know if you guys watch Trevor Noah, comedian.
Yeah.
He had this like one line in this stand-up, which was like, the one thing you can't waste your money on is travel. And I was like, definitely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, PTO-wise, it's difficult, just specifically in the States, which everyone talks about, you know, PTO is more limited here as compared to one of the group leaders on our team. We kind of connected because she was in Texas for a time working full-time here, but now she has since relocated to Berlin and has, I don't know, maybe double the amount of PTO days or something like that, which obviously a move like that makes a big difference. It's not practical for everyone, but because people now have slightly more availability to work remotely, some people are fully remote, some are not remote, but at least their employers are now a bit more open to the idea of them working from home a few days a week. You can kind of move around some of your PTO so that you can work from home, like, and to save actual PTO days for some of these bigger trips or experiences, or work and travel, I think, is a really cool concept. So we do some of our remote working trips where people essentially have to take 0 days of PTO to join for an entire month of activities. And really most of the experience and most of the moments happen just, they're just weaved in throughout the day. So getting lunch is different. Even your lunch break, even though they're on meetings the same as they would be, lunch is more exciting. Breaks are more exciting. Just the background where they're working is more exciting. And then of course, evenings, any days off, weekends are just packed full of all these wild adventures that are at his fingertips because you're working remotely from Guatemala, for example. So I think those are really cool ways that I'm seeing a lot of people kind of take some of their time back or work the PTO system so that they can continue to show up for their job the same. And in fact, we actually did a little study of our own and found that a lot of people were getting promoted on our So happy in general, I think we're feeling more creative and they're still showing up and doing everything as they were supposed to, but feeling a little happier because their free time was truly theirs and it wasn't spent commuting or working.
Yeah, but those who work, you know, from home, right? There's a lot of challenges with that as well. Like sometimes it's hard to motivate yourself, say, if you have like just the desk in your room, right? Like your bed's right next to you. That's pretty hard to like stay focused and not be in that same space and still be creative and motivated and work really hard all day, every day. But you know, when you get out to these beautiful places, you're in a co-working space where everyone around you is working really hard. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to be doing really fun like activities and stuff. And you know, you're already excited. Your lunch break is going to this amazing cafe with some world-renowned coffee, right? Like your evening activity is doing yoga, like while the sun's setting. Like it's just, there's so many options and, you know, that can kind of spark energy in itself, right? Which we've learned to be true by our travels. And then we've also, we've watched people get promoted because they've been more motivated and productive during those remote working months, which is really exciting to see, you know, because it's proving what our kind of thought was from the beginning.
Yeah, like I was so happy that there's like a group that you can still connect with other people, even like after going on trips to find, you know, like they might be like, okay, you want to go to trip? Like, we're okay, we're down too. And I found that I went to the study abroad in Bonn near Frankfurt in Germany. So the first 2 weeks I was like, okay, this is like travel. And then it was only in the third week when I finally like, it's because I stayed with the host family. And then finally, I was like, okay, so this is kind of starting to feel like what it would be if I would like live here, get the experience. And then it was only 4 weeks long. So the fourth week, I was just like, I don't want to go back. It's like, I love the public transportation. Sadly, like America just doesn't know how to do that properly. I don't know if their outdoor will do that, but there, out of the 20 people we had in the study abroad, there were four people that were like, okay, if like one of us takes the lead, we will come with you to wherever. So every weekend for that month, it was like July and 1 week of August, we went to a different country from there, took all the trains we could. And I didn't get any sleep, but we were like, okay, we're only here for a little bit of time. Let's at least make the most of it. So those people I still keep in touch with, because it's like, if I want to go somewhere, they're the people I'll be like, are you guys free? Maybe you want to do this. So they would be my first contact. So definitely like those are the like longest connections I will keep till like later on.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So cool.
And I see that a lot on our trips as well, like people who meet and they plan trips together. Really, one of the biggest things that I can think of is a bunch of people from your Iceland trip going to Guatemala together. And then our most recent Guatemala trip from February, that entire group, all 11, flew to Austin for that reunion. Then they had already done a reunion in Chicago that almost all of them were at. They were in Chicago again, I think one or two weekends ago, for someone's birthday. And then half of them are going to Argentina on our next remote work month, which is just wild. So it's crazy to see how they can really become such close friends and travel together. But really, people from all kinds of trips connect, like your Iceland trip in October that you led. I think almost half of them then came on Peru. And they just met, a bunch of them were roommates, rooms people who had been in Iceland, but at different times for Iceland and Guatemala. So someone went on an Iceland trip, someone who went on a Guatemala trip, they came on a Peru trip, and we roomed them together because they're both also going to Jordan, on V1 Jordan. So yeah, it's just so fun to see some of those connections. It's very real people meeting and being able to travel together, those kind of things. You know, you were saying, what can you do if you have friends who don't really want to go? I think you don't have to give up on them, because there are definitely ways to make people feel comfortable and want to go, but also you don't have to wait forever. So if you're ready to start adventuring now, I think go to study abroad, join a group trip, you know, work remotely, find a co-working space, something like that. There are some really cool ways out there now to meet people, connect. So you'll find people who, just like people you met at your study abroad, who are like just down. Like, you don't even have to really guess if they're going to say yes. They're down. They're ready to look at flights and they want to go. I think it's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely have some friends like that. We have a bunch of close friends from college who they like to travel, but maybe their own style and maybe our style of travel doesn't really line up. And so through the years.
But even with my friends who do want to travel, like, being able to line up a trip is so difficult, right? Like, matching schedules nowadays is just like so hard. Yeah.
When we're getting a vacation from all of our vacations and trips, which is funny because what we like to do if we take time off TWC is go backpacking in like as remote of a wilderness as we possibly can. And there are not many people out there who like to do that kind of thing. That's not something that really put on any of our trips. It's just like a personal interest of ours.
Yeah.
But through our years of travel, we've met people out there who love that kind of thing, who have done things that inspire us so much that are even more intense and wild. So we kind of have a group now of people we've met from all over, just random places, who are interested in some of these longer remote treks. And so we went to Northern Peru last summer and trekked in the Huayhuash region, which is super remote and wild. And we're getting a group to go to Nepal, hopefully this upcoming fall. So it's fun to kind of see how through travel, that's how you meet people who have those similar interests. So
yeah,
if you're looking to meet people who like to surf, scuba dive, rock climb, hike, who like to try restaurants, who like to do cooking classes, who like to
anything. Yeah, whatever it is, you'll
find those
right. Oh, yeah,
mostly get out there.
Definitely. Yeah, so that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's what like I'm trying to work towards now. It's like, so originally I was trying to do a pre-med, which I was just like, okay, this is, you know, this, because I saw like, okay, my friends are doing this. So then I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do. And I was like, pre-med sounds cool. Let's just go for it. And then it was the study abroad year when I did that. And I was like, okay, honestly, pre-med is good, but I don't think this is it. So then I had to change, which was like a long process because it's like, I'm already in my junior year. I don't know if I should switch. So a lot of like conversations with friends, family, just like, they were like, oh, why now? You know, why do you want to switch? But then I'm very happy that like I switched to now. So now like I can work on just getting to the level. It's like, okay, living in different places at least like a month, because I feel like less than that is just like a, you're like a normal typical vacation. But only after a month or so you realize, okay, this is how you actually get the experience there. And just going for a little bit thinking you got, oh, I got the full experience of the city. I'm like, no, you just barely scratched the surface.
That's kind of the gist of all travel though, unfortunately, you know, like the amount of places that we've gone, you know, the thing is we plan the trips. It takes us months to plan each of those itineraries. Mm-hmm. And we choose, like, you know, we just sit there and just go through every possible, like, you know, iteration of what we can do for the groups. And then we choose the best one in the end, right? The one that hits the most, like, highlights with the most, like, off-the-beaten path stuff that we love, you know, but still gives that amazing experience and opportunity to meet people, get to know people. But, you know, we've traveled to Peru for, and what, 7-8 months at least total, maybe even longer than that, if I would count. Colombia is longer than Peru, and we still don't feel like we've hit the whole country, right? Like, I mean, you can't, like, you need years to hit these countries that just have so much in them. You know, I think, yeah, specifically in Latin America or in South America, when you have the Andes, right? Like, there's just so, it's so hard to get everywhere. So it's just going to take you forever to travel anyway. But no, it's so cool when you get down there and you get to really like spend time. And even on the week trips, you get to really kind of get a feel for what like those cultures are, or at least we hope that through our trips. But yeah, no, it takes, you know, you probably need years to really experience each country to the fullest. And I don't think we've ever done that. Right?
Yeah, but I do think a month is a good amount of time and reasonable for someone who's doing the digital nomad life to a month in each spot. And yeah, you get a really, really good taste of place with, and you get to kind of dive deeper, definitely deeper than you would with just a trip or a stop on a trip that's in a city for a few days. And it really helped. It, a month is enough time to really fall in love with the place.
Yeah, I mean, totally. So I think a week's enough.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But yeah, now a month, you know, you get time to really immerse yourself more, which I feel like is a really cool experience to have and a unique one, you know, in our kind of day and age.
Thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to part one of a two-part series, the interview with Jess and Gavin. As always, stay tuned for more. And if you'd like to support, word of mouth is the best way. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform of choice. See you in the next one.